You know, last night as I was immersing myself at the gathering, I was just so thrilled to see many different people. And I was just sitting there and just thanking God that that's one of the things that pastors normally don't do anything, just to sit down. And I'm just so thrilled to see Beth and Danielle did their testimony, which I'm really which was really life-giving for me personally. So thank you, Beth, for your testimony last night, and also for Danielle, who really spoke from the heart about her own story, about the topic that was given to her. So this morning, we are continuing our journey together on really rediscovering Jesus. We began this journey together on Ash Wednesday. My prayer is that we are not just here to know about Jesus, the Jesus that we have learned perhaps when we are toddlers, when we are small, coming to Sunday, being dragged by our mommies and dads, but really to really immerse ourselves into who Jesus is, in the hope that we can be able to imitate him and to embody what he had done while he walked on earth. And the story that we are about to study this morning is yet another way for us to understand him more as an all-inclusive Christ, an all-inclusive God. Let us pray. Thank you again, Father God, for this wonderful day that you have given to us. Speak to us again your solemn word, so that your word become alive, become relevant, something that we can use and apply in our everyday life. And may the power of the Holy Spirit penetrate in our hearts this morning as we hear your good news. In Christ's name that we pray. Amen. From the very beginning in the scripture, Jesus' teachings and actions are all about extending the gospel to everyone, regardless of their abilities, regardless of their background, their ethnicity, their culture, their status, or even their past. Jesus welcoming everyone and extending love and compassion to all people often challenged the social norms of his time. He was a pain in the neck, actually, among the Roman authorities, because he went beyond the comfort zone. Never that they have experienced a man by the name of Jesus who crossed all the boundaries, breaking down all the possible barriers, extending this universal invitation. Come to me. Come to me, all who are wearied and burdened, and I will give you rest. This invitational call is not limited by ethnicity, not limited by background or where you came from or even your past sins. It's open to all. He meant to all, not just to some, not just to a few, but to all who seek him. No invitation could be more inclusive and more welcoming. And those who are customarily feel most shut out are told that there are no more barriers at all. So this all-inclusive Jesus is a very countercultural Jesus. He addressed many forms of inequality and injustice created by those powerful systems and institutions of his time. He walked with the powerless, with those treated as not equals. He engaged with the misfits, with the undesirables, with sinners, with groups that are often on the periphery of the Jewish society. He engaged with a woman caught with adultery. A person judged by the all-powerful moral systems of that time. He sympathized with those who experienced imbalance of power and those individuals who are told that they are not welcomed. They were not embraced. They were labeled. They were excluded. He reached out to the impoverished women, marginalized lepers, wounded stranger. Time and time again, this very Jesus dismantles all these prejudices and all these barriers that kept people from engaging themselves, and extends to help for those wounded strangers, for those who are in the margins of the society, and begin to share to them that they are image bearer of God. See, the humility of Jesus is so radical because he possesses the higher power, or the highest power, being the Son of God. And yet, despite of this, he welcomed the lonely. He welcomed the undesirable. He welcomed those who are unwelcomed, and welcomed all the sinners with love and compassion. And with that being said, we enter now into the story of yet another encounter of Jesus with those that has been despised by the society. And his name was Zacchaeus. A lot of people remembered him as Zac. So this man, according to the Bible, was described as the chief tax collector. You know, when you're a chief tax collector during Jesus' time, there's a bad connotation of that. It's like you're being labeled already as in cahoots with the Roman authorities, with the occupiers. You are have no standing in the society. You are already been categorized as those who prayed other people, especially those normal people. He was looked down upon. He was despised by many people. There was part in the scripture in the Gospel of Luke that says, "Oh, we're so glad that we're not like him. We're glad that we don't associate with this kind of people." Let me stop there for a while and invite you to think. Have we somehow see ourselves as part of that crowd? We often label other people. We always say, "Oh, I'm so glad I'm not one of them. Oh, I'm so glad I'm not hanging out with them." He was looked down upon. He was labeled. He was despised. And what was interesting in the gospel is that the writer of the Luke's gospel says that he was what? Short in stature. And in the Bible, when the physical description is being mentioned, it's not just the physical stature that he had. Obviously, he was really short, as what we have learned from Bible stories. But the writer also invites us that short in stature can also mean the way people treat him. He was short in so many ways. He was short in dignity. He was short in his value. He was short in his worth. And he also see that himself. That because other people labeled him already, he felt worthless. He felt that nobody even recognized him. He was invisible. Was this your Zacchaeus story as well? Have you been like Zacchaeus? Have you experienced being invisible? Sometimes we felt we're being excluded. Sometimes we feel that we are insignificant, ignored, or maybe of little importance. Have you ever felt as if you don't measure up? That you're not good enough? There are times in my life that I've been there. I felt that no matter what I strive for, I felt that I was not good enough. Do you sometimes feel that you've never been a part of this group? You know, I was thinking about that when I was growing up as a kid back in the Philippines, like, whenever I see people hanging around, like kids hanging up together, because we grew up in an urban jungle called Manila, I always see people, kids like my age, playing together. I felt, you know, I wanted to be part of that, but there's sort of kind of feeling I felt being excluded. because they just hang around each other because they like each other and they don't like me at all. And I ask myself, why is it that they never include me at all? Have you felt that way at some point? Do you even wonder if Jesus had noticed you? That he even knows you or perhaps knows your name? Have you ever felt powerless and overwhelmed by the circumstances of life? Does it sometimes seem as if your value, your worth, or your dignity have been defined by your past actions and your choices? What you have done and what you have left undone? See, we can always see ourselves in the character of Zacchaeus, the man who was despised, the man who don't want people to hang around with and to even be identified, the man who sees himself to be unworthy because of what he had done to himself and to his community. But one day, as we saw in the story, because that was not the end of Zacchaeus' story, one day he learned about this man called Jesus coming into the neighborhood. He probably have heard a lot of stories already about his miracles and all the things that Jesus had done. So he was so kind of pumped up and said, I want to see this man called Jesus because he's coming to my neighborhood. So being short in stature, remember what he did? He went up in the tree to take a look. And obviously, he was noticed. In verse 5, we saw here that Jesus stopped and looked up. The Bible says he looked up at Zacchaeus. I cannot help but wonder if that might not have been the first time anyone had ever looked up to Zacchaeus. Think about that for a second, church. This man was despised. Nobody wants to identify with him. Nobody want even look up to him because he was invisible already because of his status, his reputation, being labeled, being excluded. And then this man by the name of Jesus stopped and looked up to him. And he not just only looked up to him. He looked up to him with love and with acceptance. He looked up to him even to the point that he wanted to be invited. Did you notice that on the text? He wanted to be invited himself by Zacchaeus to come to their home. I'm pretty sure that Jesus doesn't just want to eat there, right? He wants to enter into his life. He saw more than just a tax collector. He saw more than just a man who felt been excluded, been outcast, been labeled, a man of short stature. He saw others, what others could not see for himself. He saw what Zacchaeus could not see for himself. He saw one of his own. In the eyes of the crowd, Zacchaeus was a sinner. In the eyes of the crowd, Zacchaeus was unworthy because of what he had done. In his own eyes, he felt himself to be an unworthy man of short stature, undeserving, being labeled and being excluded, being ostracized. But all of that, Jesus broke down the barriers because Jesus, in his eyes, saw Zacchaeus as a child of God, as a son of Abraham, as what he had said. In fact, he declared that this very man, in verse 10, was sought, was seen, and was saved. Can we hear amen to that, church? For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. This man that was ostracized, this man that was labeled, was excluded, was felt himself to be undeserving and unworthy and undervalued by his own deed, unworthy and without any more dignity for what he had done. He was lost, and yet he was found. Church, an all-inclusive Jesus touched the life of Zacchaeus that moment. his neediness, even his desperation is met with hospitality, acceptance, and repentance. And out of his gratitude, out of his praise and thanksgiving to this all-inclusive Jesus, he made this brave and unexpected decision. He returned, wanting to return the wealth that he had accumulated and return back half of that to the poor, and at the same time, wanting to return four times for what he had defrauded to his people. Just like Zacchaeus' church, we find ourselves being labeled, being judged, being excluded. We see ourselves being unwelcomed, or find ourselves guilty of all of our past actions. And all of that, Jesus is striking all of that, removing all that barriers and giving us another new chance, seeing us. From the words of Danielle last night, I love what she said. God sees the able, not the label. Can you say that with me, church? God sees the able, not the label. He looked after Zacchaeus, and he's looked after you and me because he wants that relationship. He wants you to come back to him. He wants Zacchaeus to come back to him because Jesus is in the business of restoring that relationship. Church, this very Jesus is the one that welcomes everyone. The very one who welcomes the prostitutes, the tax collector, the crazy man in caves, the Samaritan woman, the rugged fisherman. The one who invites us. Jesus is the very welcoming man of God. This very Son of God is the one who invites us at this table. The table that we are about to share together. At this table, we have a room. There's a room for everyone, just like what he did for Zacchaeus. There's a room for a stranger. There's a room for a smoker. There's a room for a recovering alcoholic, for a former felon, a divorcee. There's a room at the table. Whether you are unemployed, whether you are a couple living on a food stamp, whether you're a handicapped person or interracial couple, there's a place in the table of the Lord. The Bible says, whoever welcomes you welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Church, the call to welcome. The call to welcome all by Jesus have a very practical implications in how we are to be the church today. It challenges us as people of God, as church people, to create communities that reflect that welcoming spirit, that reflect that very character of Jesus that welcomes everyone, the diversity of the kingdom of God, where all individuals are valued, where all are welcome, where all feel the love in a place called church. They can feel that they belong. And this involves actively reaching out and doing whatever it takes to invite those that are not in this table, not in this room. Come. Come and see what God has to do or what God has to offer for us here at Lang Chapel. Come and let us all join together in rediscovering Jesus. Friends, as we gather and prepare ourselves in this Lord's communion, now more than ever, God invites us for this universal call of welcoming everyone into his kingdom. May we embody this inclusivity in our personal lives and in the life of God's church, reflecting the heart of Jesus to a diverse and broken world. May we welcome the Zacchaeus of our time. May we see the value, the worth, and the dignity of everyone. And may we be the presence of Jesus to all people. Let us pray. Welcoming God, there are many times that we have felt like we are Zacchaeus, that our lives were cut down to our size. We felt small and insignificant, perhaps ignored, of little importance. And there are times as well that we are like the crowd, that we exclude other people. We labeled already someone even before we get to know them. And sometimes we define our relationship on what other people have done in the past. We judge others before getting even to know them. Forgive us, Lord. Redeem us. May we reclaim an all-inclusive Jesus in our lives, who stopped and looked up at Zacchaeus, who recognized him to be the child of God, son of Abraham, worthy to be saved. May we embody the spirit of hospitality, acceptance, and repentance, not just on us as individuals, but also as the body of Christ. May it be so now and forever. Amen.